Good morning. It's 6:35 in the morning on February 29th, a date I will only walk on every 4 years. How exciting. I wonder if I'll keep going until the next leap day. So anyway, today's February 29th. It's going to be a big day today. I had a great day yesterday. I didn't get as much done as I had hoped, but the point is I got something done. I actually got quite a lot done. One of the stories that Tony C. Smith sent me was from Kim Newman, I think, or Kim Newton? Kim Newman. Illimitable Domain. That's a phrase taken from Edgar Allan Poe. And it's a creepy story. It's for Tales to Terrify. But it's a monster. It's something over 10,000 words. It took the better part of 2 hours just to record. And I'm not sure that I don't have to go back and redo it. Well, by the time I got done, my voice was pretty much shot. I had to sit down. It was a long, long recording session. So I got it done. I'm going to have to edit it. But I did get it done. And I could tell I was getting tired because I kept making mistakes toward the end. So it's a lot longer than normal in terms of raw audio. It's going to be a lot longer to edit as a result. So, yeah, that was yesterday. Today is Science Fair Day. Today's the day I go to UNC and put on my science hat and judge middle school science programs. The participants in the regional science fair. This is the third, it might be the fourth year that I've done this. It's a great deal of fun. It's a wonderful way to connect with kids and science and to encourage them in terms of their project and how they approached it. I've seen some amazing kinds of projects. The twins who studied oxygen solutions as they vary by temperature using their pet goldfish was probably the most amazing one that I had ever seen. The fact that they did it, for all of its flaws, the fact that they did it, and they thought about all of the things that you need to think about when you're working with goldfish, I was astonished. It was quite interesting. And they were like 11 years old. So, yeah. Last year I saw one that had, they had recreated a famous psychological exam, a psychological test, where you're told to count the number of times the people wearing black shirts pass the basketball. And in the middle of it, there's something outrageous that happens. And I can't remember now what it is. It's a guy in a monkey suit or a gorilla that walks through or something. And so they recreated it at school and shot it and then did some sampling, did some studies. So it's pretty interesting. There was one that did some statistical stuff that was highly suspect. I understand why they got pushed on to regional, but realistically, bad statistics is not something you want to teach kids, because it's a lesson that they'll learn, take to heart, and try to use. And bad stats is not a good lesson to learn. The interesting year, so we had one year where there were a lot of windmills, a lot of wind generation, and the question that I always ask those people is about tip speed. because tip speed is directly related to power. And so the faster the tip speed, the more power you can generate, which is why the commercial wind generators have humongously long blades and only three of them. It's because the length gives them leverage on the wind, and even though the blade itself appears to be spinning lazily, the tip of the blade describes a huge circle. So even if it only rotates once a minute, the length of that circle means the tip speed is staggering in terms of the amount of power that that blade, or that those blades taken in tandem, can generate. So I thought it was interesting that of all of the people who were doing those, not one of them understood this basic fact about how windmills work. And so that was kind of an indicator to me that it didn't really do a lot of homework. It just built a windmill and attached it to an electric motor to simulate being a generator and called it good. So I thought that was unfortunate, but kind of typical. None of those people won, by the way. Let's see, I'm trying to think of, was one guy who did a radio telescope. Thought that was an interesting one, although he had no idea what he was doing. He was following some recipe, and I think basically his father did it. He didn't win either, but it was an interesting assessment. I'm trying to think if there are any others. My daughter was in one once. I didn't get to judge her, but she did how the shape of a mermaid's tail affects the speed and power with which they can swim. And she and her friend, who was a swimmer and who can do the dolphin kick, built a collection of different shaped tails that had, and not exactly, but similar area. They didn't really do a very good job, I have to say. They didn't ask, and I didn't offer. I didn't interfere. But it was an interesting, I thought it was a really interesting idea that they would have gone through the efforts to create these things and rubberize them so they could use them in the pool and get a swimmer who could do the kick and then go try to figure out if any of them improved performance. I thought it was a really cute idea, mermaids. Which takes me to I will never forget this one as long as I live. It had to do with hair color. And was it hair color and shopping? Oh, darn, now I can't remember what it was about. But there was a girl who was trying to correlate hair color to something that was I want to say it was like hair color to shopping habits. Do blondes shop more or something like that? And now I wish I could remember what the correlation was. But she was very, very serious about checking to see if hair color, and she did things like she found people who were naturally blonde, and she found people who dyed their hair blonde, and she found people who were brunettes and redheads, and people with black hair, and she did this whole convoluted study that was completely bogus, but it was apparent that she was very into it. And I thought she should have won a prize because it was so off the wall. and it was so complex. And she did so much work to try to come up with how and why and where. And in the end, her findings were, there's no significant difference, which in this case shouldn't be too surprising. But the fact that she did it, she did the study, she did the practice, she went through the whole thing and found no significant difference, said to me that she at least understood what the scientific process was, which is one of the criteria for judging, is do they understand the process. It was totally off the wall. I walk up to this and it's like festooned in pink and script fonts, and it was horrible, but it was wonderful at the same time. And a couple of us said she should get a prize. She should at least get third place. But the others said, no, this is just stupid. I'm like, no. You know, they're stupid and they're stupid. There's all these boys out there who build wind turbines and don't understand the basic mechanics of why they work. And they're looking at angle of attack, and they're looking at the number of blades, and not one of them is paying any attention at all to the real factor, which is tip speed. If they'd done any homework whatsoever, they would have known that. Most of the studies used really poor choices, looking at measurement tools that weren't really appropriate. And here's this girl who did this totally off-the-wall, left-field thing, and they just wanted to beat up on her because she was studying blondes. Well, I thought that was kind of unfair. I also think it was kind of a sexist bias, but what can I say? So, yeah, today is Science Fair Day, and I am so looking forward to going over and seeing what these kids have come up with, seeing how they've gone about testing it. Some of them work with materials that most people don't have access to. Their parents work at places like Ball Aerospace, or there's a couple of materials testing labs in the area, and some of their parents work there. And so there's some issues involving, you know, some of the things that they do. There was one guy one year who did whether or not concrete areas affected climate. And he did a really good job with terrariums and different tests with different terrariums that had different materials in the bottom. That was fascinating. He did a really good job. He didn't use anything really fancy. He just used good logic in his curiosity, which I thought was really quite appropriate. So, yeah. Let's see. No, somebody asked if my feet got blisters the first day with the new boots. No, they didn't. I only wore them for a few minutes at a time. The 2 miles in the morning isn't really enough to affect a blister. I'm debating on whether or not I should wear them today to the science fair, because that's a lot of standing and my feet can use the extra support. Typically I'd wear my cowboy boots. And I might do that anyway, just because they're a little dressier. But at the end of the day, my feet are going to hurt. That much I know. My feet are going to hurt. So something to keep in mind for the day as it unfolds. Let's see. 6:50 in the morning. I'm almost home. Elder daughter doesn't have to be there today until 9. I'm not sure what that means in terms of transport. I need to arrive between 8:30 and 9:30 at the university, so that'll work out okay if I can get kids moving by 8:25 so that I can get the jobs taken care of and then make it over to the university. At 9:30, they'll start the organizing, so I really have plenty of time to get over there. The problem is that the parking lot fills up, and I don't want to be stuck with no place to park. So that'll be an issue. If my wife skips work today, if she stays home sick, maybe I'll steal her hang tag so I can park in the faculty lot. That's one of the things about leaving the university, is that I just can't bop over there and park anymore. I have to think about how am I going to get there, what am I going to do with the car when I do. Their daily parking rates are now ridiculous, like $5 a day. They're really trying to force people to buy the parking stickers. And the problem is buying a parking sticker only means that they won't give you a ticket if you park on campus. It doesn't mean there's actually a place for you to park there, which is understandable, but the prices that they charge for the stickers are like, I don't know, the last time I paid was like $175 for the year, which is still cheaper than $5 a day. But that's a lot of money just for parking. Now, I understand why they do it, because they want people to take mass transit. And if mass transit worked, I would happily do it. Only if it does work. It never used to, but things have changed. I wonder if I could now, for example, take the bus to the university. Or at least near the university. Well, let's check that out. That could be significant. At any rate. So, Seth Godin put out an education manifesto. I was reading part of it. And there's a lot of really fascinating ideas there. Like, what is one of the basic questions is, what is school for? And I have to agree with him that what it's for right at the moment is to create obedient, compliant factory workers. Because that's what it was designed to do, and it does it very well. And the problem is, and where it has broken down, is that we now no longer need obedient, compliant factory workers in their millions, because those factory jobs aren't here anymore. What we have now are a preponderance of service jobs, and the opportunity exists in creative endeavors like writing, photography, arts, graphics, to a certain extent marketing. I think marketing could be huge. I think business administration could be huge. But compliant and obedient doesn't really cut it when you're talking about marketing. So the interesting challenge is, how do we change a century's worth of ideas? One of the telling points, and I saw this survey come by when it first came out, but there was a study done on what do you want to be when you grow up kinds of things. And it was, do you want to be a rock star, or do you want to be the assistant to the rock star? Do you want to be, do you want to work in a store? Do you want to work in a factory? Whatever. And the one thing that people wanted to be was not the star, but the assistant to the star. So the section in Godin's work is, I want to be an astronaut's assistant. It's like, yeah, that would be kind of cool. It's like, well, wait a minute, why don't you want to be the astronaut? And the answer is, because being an astronaut is boring. The perception of being an astronaut, where you have to go through this whole long, horrible rigmarole, and you only have a very small chance of actually succeeding. Where for a much smaller investment, you could have most of the glory. At least you could be exposed to many of the same influences. But you don't have to, like, get a pilot's license. You don't have to spend tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on an education. So I absolutely understand I want to be an astronaut's assistant. And it doesn't help that science, technology, engineering, and math education is designed to call out anyone who is really passionate about it, and leave only those people who can follow the rules. I'm sincerely convinced of this, which is why, to bring it back around, which is why I'm really excited to participate with the science fair. And yes, I know it's not going to get me any closer to getting any of my products done. And you know what? Tough. Today is Science Fair Day, and I am so looking forward to it. Car coming. Make sure I don't step out in front. So, it's a gorgeous morning. Sun is up. 6:50. The backyard is a shambles. It's filled with downed limbs still. Oh well. I'm here. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And I'll tell you about the science fair then.